First John 3. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. John gives us an excellent move from how the ideal notion of God's word and law work in practice. And not just that, but how Jesus, as the one who fulfilled the law in our place and for us, is our source for information about God's will, as well as the source for the getting the will done as well. Let's take a look at how this works. When John encourages his congregations, his disciples, his people in the pews, to love one another, he doesn't go to thou shalt not kill. He doesn't go to the Ten Commandments. And that may surprise you, or maybe it's not something you even thought about because it's not in this text, but the fact that it's not in this text, I think, is significant. Because he doesn't go back to the Ten Commandments for guidance on what should be happening in the day-to-day experience of the life of our Lord. Not that the Ten Commandments aren't good for that, but he goes to the life of Jesus. Right? How do we know what love looks like? From the command not to kill? Or from the fact that Jesus endured death for us on the cross? So the depiction of love that we have, that the Father has given us, is his Son on the cross. That's what love looks like. Self-sacrifice without limit for the sake of the whole world, for all the sins, for all the people, for all time and all places, 100%. And 100% love on display so that we will never forget what that looks like. So that that can be emblazoned in our brains, burned into the back of our retinas. So that from then on, we look at the whole world, not with some eclipse marker on our retinas, but with the cross of Jesus on our retinas. That we can't even see each other without looking through the cross first. So that when we look at our brother or sister, whether in Christ or our brother and sister, or just a human being in the world, we're going to look at them with the cross first and foremost in our minds. Because that's the message that God loves, not just me, but them too. And his sacrifice was not just for those who believe it. It was for everybody. And so his love is for everybody. Now, John imagines in his idealistic notion that that should actually be how we think about things. That should have an impact on day-to-day living. So that it's not really enough to be loving someone to not kill them. Right? On the way to church today, I drove my car. I drove all the way to Flo's to have breakfast with Dennis. Dennis and I have breakfast and game plan our Sunday morning. We're not just kind of flying by the seat of our pants up here. We just do it over eggs. But course of that drive between my house and Flo's and from Flo's back to the church, I saved all kinds of people's lives. Hundreds of people. I could have just plowed right into them, all the way through them, just crashed up everything. I could have taken that truck and gone right through the front window of Flo's and crashed into everything. I saved their lives. Wow, what a great guy I am. I didn't kill anybody this morning yet. I could run right out here while y'all standing here and I could crash right through that window and plow all you over. Boy, what a sinner I would be then, right? I would. But for John, he's not saying that it's enough to just not kill people. That's not what love looks like. Love is a whole lot more than you shall not murder. In fact, that whole category is much bigger than we would necessarily immediately give credit for if we just look at the bare words. And so instead of saying, you know, make sure that as you're going through life, you stop at the red light so you don't kill somebody, that is somehow the height of love, right? No, John starts there, says, okay, so we have this idea about life, right? Life is important. Life is valuable. It's valuable to God so much that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him would not only have life but have eternal life. Right? Whoever believes in him would not die, but have, not perish, but have eternal life. So we take the cross and then we let it percolate. What does that mean? So the example that John then gives is not, so make sure that you don't plow into people when you're driving the float. That's not the example that John gives. The example that John gives is, you probably have some sense of an inventory about what the Lord has blessed you with on any particular, within a margin of error at any particular time. Probably got some sense of that. Now, there's always a few surprises. You know, you clean out a closet over here. Oh, look, I didn't know I had this. Sure, there's always a few surprises. But in general, right, you kind of got some sense, well, this is kind of where the balance sheet is. This is kind of what's in the living room. This is kind of what I got in the back of the garage somewhere that I haven't looked at for 3 years. And the blessings... This is a big problem in North America. The blessings, while they outstrip our sense of generosity, community, and neighborliness a lot. A lot. All right, so Jesus laid down his life for us to show us what love looks like. We ought to lay down our lives for one another. So what does that mean? If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? That's an open-ended question. But I suppose it's expecting the answer, well, it doesn't. And we have all kinds, and we have all kinds of reasons and ways of trying to sort this out. Reasons why generosity sometimes feels or seems like the bad idea. Because, well, they might abuse the gift. Right? If I give them something, they may do something with it that isn't a good idea. That's true. So, what do we do then? We go back to the first comment about about what God the Father gave to us. What did God the Father give to us? He gave us Jesus. Well, what did we do with Jesus? We put him up on a cross. Not the best response. Did God know that was going to happen? Yeah. He did it anyway. Huh. Now what? You see, the problem that we have as human beings is we don't know the future. We don't. We don't know the future. God knows the future. We don't know what's on people's hearts and minds. God does. We don't have all that. But even in knowing all of that, the Lord God of heaven and earth was willing to be abused and to have his gifts so thoroughly abused so as to have his own life taken from him. He was willing to have his gifts rejected. He is willing to have that gift rejected over and over and over and over again, just for the sake of the fact that maybe, somewhere, sometime, that word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is going to reshape one person's heart and mind, and that'll be enough. For the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, because of the fellowship that he wanted to have with all of us. I don't know what to do with John's words here sometimes. I sure don't. What I do know, what he's calling me to do, is he's calling me to actually pick up the cross and follow Jesus. To actually do that. And that is what is going to authentically communicate to the world what the love of God is all about. That's why I say he's the good shepherd. Maybe C minus at best. This is hard. It's hard, isn't it? I can't do it. I look at that word and I say, there's so many reasons I can't fulfill that word. And it strikes my heart as a word of law, even while it's an invitation to simply be in the presence of Christ. And to respond to the needs of the world around me as Jesus would. And that's the rub, isn't it? As Jesus would. But the call to authenticity of discipleship, to actually be in word and deed an icon of Christ for the sake of the brother or sister in Christ or for the sake of the world. This is the reality of the call. Call to every baptized John of God. And so, we come with all of that failure in the midst of our minds over the course of a week, and what do we do with it? I, poor, miserable sinner. Yeah, right. It's true. Because guess what? Yesterday, one of the folks that was there on the corner in between my house and where I was headed while I was driving through had a sign up that said they were hungry. And they had a dog, of course. And I didn't give them anything because I was driving. I thought, I can't stop. And more often than not, I do that. Sometimes I don't. And I do not know what the right thing to do in that context is in terms of what the world's wisdom would dictate. But I do know that my Lord Jesus was willing to be abused. He was willing to go to his cross and to die for me. And somehow, some way, that's got to make a difference. That moment of love. See, the Lord is not interested in having all this happen at the end of an epistle or end of a John, right? We're under compulsion. He's interested in having it happen because the Holy Spirit is having his way with us. And for us to realize that as I count my blessings, I have more than enough. And in the generosity that the Lord provides, that his heart can be my heart. Well, my heart condemns me in this regard. And I know that in the perfection of the Lord's will and the perfection of his commandments, I have not kept his will. And I know that his forgiveness flows to reset my heart and to reset me and to cover me with his blood, to cleanse me of my sin. And then to call me to remember his cross. And to call me to remember the gift of his righteousness. And to call me to remember that I can have confidence in his provision. The manna comes day in and day out. The manna provides. I don't need to worry. And so, my hand can be open. So, don't get me wrong. This sermon is just as much for me as it's for anybody else. In fact, if you all weren't even here, this is the sermon that would have to be preached today because I was here. And I've lived through the same week you have. And you've struggled with the same questions about how to organize your life and how to reflect love in that organization. How to give witness and to bear witness to the cross of Jesus as we pick up that cross and follow him daily. We want to abide in him, and his word binds us to him. So go back to that word. Go back to the word of forgiveness over and over and over again, because John has it right there up front. He laid down his life for us. That's how we know. And the daily struggle of repentance is to let that love have its way with us. And to not stop and squelch the work of the Spirit to move us forward. And that his new commandment to love one another, not as I described back on Mount Sinai, but to love one another as I have loved you. See, that's what John is leveraging. What did Jesus do? And how does that shape me? And his love on display for all the world to see is absolute. 100%, truly without limit, pouring himself out for the sake of the other, pouring himself out for the enemy, pouring himself out for the ones who couldn't care less, pouring himself out for the ones who were ready to throw rocks at him even while he was dying on the cross. So, as we move through this life, and as we trust in his promises, we can trust in all of them and let them shape day by day the steps we take, what we do with our hands, what we do with our mouths, what we do with our eyes and ears, so that they can reflect Jesus. I pray that for myself. John, in his letter, wants his people to be as authentic witnesses to Christ as they possibly can be in a world that oftentimes is hostile to it. And he recognizes that there's all kinds of people out there who are not in conversation with the Lord. They're not reading the Bible. And so the only picture they ever get of what that cross means is how the people who say that cross means something to them interact with the rest of the world. So it's for their sake. It's not for our salvation's sake. It's actually for their sake that we love them. The best thing we can do, first of all, is to pray for them constantly. And then to pray that the Lord would work in and through us, that his will be done, that his cross be on display, and that we be a part of what he's already up to and unfold in the kingdom of God. The peace that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith towards Christ Jesus, now and